You know, I can't help but to think of how the Lord Jesus, our Savior, he valued so much the Father. You know, Jesus, he was facing an amazing challenge. He was facing the cross. And there in that garden, he prayed, "Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me." But he valued God the Father so much so. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And even though he was facing a giant, he was facing a major challenge, he found security. He found security in how much he valued God. His value in the Father, and God the Father, brought him great security. And so the Lord, he valued God the Father. And today I want to talk to you about another person in the Old Testament who found security in valuing God. And that individual is David, King David. I was really impressed. We went to the Valley of Elah, and that is where David fought a giant. It was to Saul and to the rest of the armies of Israel was a major challenge. And where everyone else was disabled, everyone else was riddled, gripped with fear, because David valued God, not only did he bring security to himself, but to his whole nation. And so I want to talk to you again about security and values. And why this is important is because I feel in my spirit that there are some of you that are facing some serious challenges in your life. You have a giant that you're facing or you're dealing with, and it's affecting you, it's paralyzing you. But God, he wants to remind you of the importance of valuing the things that he's impressed upon your heart. And we're going to look at the story. We're going to get some context. It's 1 Samuel chapter 17. And he wants to remind you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that he is with you and he is for you. And he's going to help you. Now, let's look at, again, 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll read through most of the chapter, and then we'll pray, and then I'll share the message. Now, the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Soko and Azekah and Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with the valley between them. Now, as I was there, I was in the brook where we're going to read David took some smooth stones. And so I was in that brook, and Soko is over here. And the other place, which is pronounced something like Azekah, was over here. And they're like mountains. And the Philistines were from one mountain all the way across. And then there was the valley, and the Israelite army was across on another mountain. And this is some massive area. It's not a tiny place. And so those Philistines had to be extremely intimidating to the children of Israel. And then a champion came out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, which is around 9 feet and 9 inches. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, which would be about 125 pounds at least. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, which is about 15 pounds, and a shield barrier went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for a battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in years, in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shema. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul, but David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. You know, isn't that how giants in our lives are? They don't just come once. They come over and over again, morning and evening. And sometimes it could be a financial giant. Sometimes it could be the oppression of the adversary, some kind of relational issue. And it just captivates or takes a lot of your thinking time, day and night. Maybe that's some of you right now. You wake up and it's there. You go to bed and it's there. And it's just somewhat either tormenting or trying to intimidate you, or you're afraid. But I'm going to share with you 4 things that are going to help you to get over that fear. And we'll talk about those things in a little while. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah," which would be like a bushel of this dried grain, "and these 10 loaves. And run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of the 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army, and David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." I find it fascinating. Here, David is a young man, a man of faith. When he hears Goliath blaspheming the armies of God, that ignites him. And he's looking at the situation very, very different. And he's thinking, who is this guy to defy the armies of God? And then here he's going to act in faith, as we're going to see. And he's going to do something at such a young age that no one else was willing to do. None of the experienced men of Israel, and not even the king, Saul, who was head and shoulders above everyone else, and perhaps he should have been the one being the leader to take charge on this. But they were all afraid. And we'll talk about the reason why in a little bit. But it's interesting when people have faith and people are inspired or maybe even have righteous anger, that there and it motivates them to do something, to act. It's interesting how there will always be people to try to discourage you. And sometimes it's even people that are closest to you. Like David, his own brother, his oldest brother. Now, knowing the history, you know that David was appointed king. And when Samuel came to appoint a king from the family of Jesse, he was being led by the Lord, and Eliab was the firstborn. And so Samuel thought, surely this is the one because of his outward appearance. You remember. And God says, "Hey, Samuel, I don't view things the way men view things. Men view things by the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. This is not the guy." And maybe Eliab had an issue in his heart way back then against his younger brother. And David was the youngest, his baby brother. You know, it's interesting that issues that get in the heart, eventually they'll come out. Eventually they'll come out. And, you know, sometimes family members or people that are close to you, when you have faith, there will be those that will try to discourage you. And Eliab definitely was one who was trying to discourage. And let me tell you, any of you who are dealing with something and the Lord is, you know that the Lord has inspired you to act by faith and everything that you're doing is biblical, it's sound. When there are those that are there to discourage you, don't let the voice of anyone that would discourage you get into your heart and become effective in hindering what the Lord is leading you to do. No matter what, plow through that garbage. Because there's enough people that are down out there that will discourage anyone from following in faith and following God's will. And we're not talking about being reckless. We're talking about following God's will. And that's exactly what David was doing. And so here comes his brother to try to discourage him. But David, he said in verse 29, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him towards another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first one did. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, listen to this. It's awesome. "Let no man's heart fail because of him, because of that giant. your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now here comes another one to discourage. In verse 33, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. You can't do this. You can't act in faith. You can't trust the Lord. This guy's an expert. You don't know what you're doing. You're going to get yourself killed. You know, one of the things that excites me is when people have love for Jesus and they're being motivated by their love for Christ and they're willing to act in faith and to do things that goes against what the majority may say, oh, you can't do that. Now, here's Saul. Saul is somewhat a trained man, an expert, and he's trying to influence. Maybe his motive was good, trying to protect David. Saul was seeing everything in the natural. But David was seeing things from God's perspective. And David didn't let Saul's word discourage him. He just continued to move forward. And so, in verse 34, David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Wouldn't you like to have a friend like David? Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine would be like one of them. He'd be like an animal to me. Seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. This is what was motivating David. This man has blasphemed God by defying, by boldly speaking against God's armies. And this is an injustice and it can't be overlooked. And don't worry about it. I'm going to take this guy out. I love people of faith. I love hanging out with people of faith. It's so inspiring. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor. Now try to picture this. And he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And then David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Could you imagine that here? Saul was probably a big guy, puts on all of his gear on David and says, all right, go and fight this guy. And David's walking around. It's like, I can't move. But it goes to show about David and how David respected Saul. He put on the armor, but, you know, he didn't let Saul and his position intimidate him and cause him to act in Saul's mind. He still, no matter what, kept his mind upon the Lord. And that is so critical. Whenever we're going to do anything for God, no matter who says what and who tries to influence us in any way, we always got to keep our mind in what God has to say and what God is, how God's leading us. And so he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And then he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, he disesteemed him. He just started to ridicule him, say a bunch of things to try to intimidate David. For he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field. But David was full of faith. And David replied and said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name or in the authority of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the air, or of the earth rather, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it. And struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this account of a young man who, when everyone else was gripped with fear and disabled, there was one man who valued you so much so. And because he valued you, he made a difference. When no one else could do anything, he was able, by faith, to conquer the giant. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I titled this message, The Day That Goliath Got Stoned. And we know that it was David who stoned Goliath to his death. But how? How did he do that? Well, he did it because he valued God more than anything else in his life. David valued God more than the giant, more than the discouraging things of his brother, more than the position of the king and perhaps the influence of the king to try to do battle the king's way, the normal way. He valued God, and he found his strength in the Lord. Now, when you separate practice from values, things start to break down. I was reading this about ancient China. Ancient China used to get bombarded from barbarics from the north. And they were thinking and wanting to figure out a way to protect themselves. And so they built this wall. We all heard of the Great Wall of China. And their thought was, we're going to build a wall that's impenetrable. And so they began this endeavor. They made this wall that was 16 to 25 feet high, depending on where it was, about 20 feet thick, and close to 4,000 miles long. And the whole idea was so that no one can break through it, no one can climb over. It was too long to go around it. And in the first 100 years, the interesting thing is that They were invaded three times. Now, the invasion didn't come because someone got over the wall or someone broke through the wall. You know how the invasion came? They bribed the gatekeeper. See, that gatekeeper, he separated practice from values. And all of us, we all have values. And you know, when you are faced with a challenge or with a giant, that really does reveal what you value the most. Now, I understand that all of us are a work in progress, and sometimes these challenges reveal what we value the most. And some of us, people who are of faith, we say, God, I don't like what's inside of my heart. Change me. I value this, and it shows me that I don't value you the way that I should. Change me. And that's a good thing. Unfortunately, Saul, he lost value. He lost his value in God. You know, Saul was one who separated practice from values. And it affected his leadership, and it affected the armies of God and all those that were under his influence. Because here, Saul, he had amazing encounters with God, and through Samuel the prophet, he had great potential to be an awesome leader. And there's no doubt that God would have used him to have the victory if he trusted God. But he had his heart was so removed from God, and oftentimes he got to a point where he thought that he could do God's things his own way, and that left him spiritually broken down. So much so that when they were confronted with this battle with this giant, Saul was afraid. And so were all of the armies of Israel under his leadership. And it was simply because they did not put God in the right place. And we read how that affected them. They were paralyzed with fear. They were paralyzed with fear. But then there's this one kid, maybe he was around 17 years of age at this time. He's thinking very different. And you know that account, to me, as I was reading that account, what I saw really was just an expression of how much David valued God. That's what that whole battle, in a sense, it was just an expression. It was an outpouring of his love for God and his relationship with God. So for David, it wasn't anything unusual. For everybody else, it was like, wow, this is amazing. But for David, it's like, this guy's talking about the one I value more than anything. And he is with me. He's with us. And you guys, you don't need to be afraid. He is greater than any opposition. He's with us. And it goes to show that one man, one young man of faith, can change a situation. How many families have been changed because one person said, God, from now on, I'm valuing you more than anything else. And that one person starts affecting mom, affecting dad, affecting siblings, or whatever the arrangement is. One person of faith can make a difference. And David, he made that difference because he valued God. We're going to talk about four specific things that David valued. You know, valuing God is a general thing. There's many things we could probably pull out of the text, but there's at least four. But before we do that, I want to show you in the text the purpose. What's David's purpose was? It had a twofold purpose. Go with me to verse 46. David said, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. And here it is. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You know when this battle took place? Around 3,000 years ago. In a sense, David was speaking prophetically. When this battle took place, David was uttering things that would happen in the future. That this battle between the children of God, the armies of God, and the enemy, the Philistines, would go global and would be heard all over the earth. This is, you know, it is the most popular, one of the most popular biblical battles that ever was. You go almost anywhere and you say, David, what's usually the first thing that comes to people's mind? David and Goliath. David and Goliath. Think about it. Here, this battle has been known all over. That is amazing when you think about it. Here we're talking about it today. And what David said on that day has been fulfilled. That is the power of the Word of God. Amazing. It had a distant purpose, but it also had a near purpose. The second purpose, he says, then all this assembly, which I'm believing he's talking about the children of Israel. He says that all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. It was a lesson to teach the children of Israel, to teach the people of God. That, you know, God doesn't fight battles with swords and spears. He doesn't fight with human instruments and a carnal way of fighting battles. You know, God that we serve, he requires that we would be people of faith and that we would trust him. The battle is his. And maybe right now you're going through some kind of battle and you've forgotten sight of that. You've forgotten that God is in control. And you're taking matters into your own hands. And while you do that, I mean, God loves you and he's for you and he's with you. But while you're doing that, son of God, you're gonna be sunk. Now, in regards to what David valued, there's four things that David valued. Number one, David valued past victories. David valued past victories. But another thing was David valued the faithfulness of God. Another thing which many believers sometimes, or maybe even often, neglect is wisdom. David valued wisdom. And then the last thing is David valued the divine perspective. You know, look at what it says here. David, he valued past victories. Here, Saul, he tells him, you can't go. You can't fight against the Philistine, verse 33. For you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. You know, David, he valued past victories. He thought of times when he was fighting lions and bears, and he had victory over those lions and bears. And then he said about the faithfulness of God. He valued the faithfulness of God because he said, "Moreover, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." So this is how this goes. It kind of goes hand in hand. There was no doubt when David was first confronted with one of the sheep that were under his care, being taken either by a lion or a bear. And there is no doubt, if he's human, he was gripped with fear. Have you ever come across something and you're fine? You're fine. Hey, what a glorious day this is. And then, boom, it happens. You know, you're afraid. You don't know how you're going to respond. And at that time, in those moments, there's no doubt in my mind that David, having such a wonderful relationship with God and valuing the little lamb, David, he said, "God, help me. I got to get that lamb, and I need your help." And he prayed, and he was courageous, and he overcame his fear by faith, and he went and he delivered the lamb. Not once, but more than once. And it says that when the lion or the bear, whatever it was, it attacked him, he grabbed him by the beard and killed it. I wish I had a few more elders like that in the church, you know? No, we don't need them. We don't need those tough guys. Maybe for Unite. So some of you volunteer for Unite. But he thought, God delivered me then. God was faithful to me then. And God will be faithful to me with this. Because whether it's a giant, a bear, or a lion, it makes no difference to God. But then David not only valued past victories and valued the faithfulness of God, he also valued wisdom. You know, it tells us here that Saul tried to clothe David, verse 38, with his armor. And he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So he took them off. You know, David, he showed respect to Saul. He tried it on. Saul was the king. He listened, and he tried it on. He tried on all the gear that Saul had tried to help him out with. And David, he used just common sense and wisdom. He says, "This is not going to work. This is not me. I haven't trained in these things. I can't go the way that you're trying to push me. I'm not ready for that. I have to go with what I'm comfortable with. I have to be true to who I am." And let me tell you, I'm sure that that wasn't an easy thing for David. He's talking to the king. But nevertheless, he used wisdom. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is skill for living. And you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of folks that they call themselves Christians, and yet they don't seem to have skill for living. They'll talk about God. They'll talk about the faithfulness of God. But then when they live out their life, they make decisions that lack wisdom, and they seem to always get themselves into trouble. You notice that about some people? Using wisdom is a good thing. And the scriptures tell us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And David, he used wisdom. He assessed the army. He assessed the situation. He assessed everything that Saul was trying to help him out with. And after assessing everything, after thinking everything through, he realized this is not going to work. I'm going to have to do this with what I feel comfortable with. And then the last thing was, he saw things, he valued the divine perspective. Look at, in verse 46 again, he says, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp to the Philistines, to the birds of the air and the wild beast of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear." And here it is, "For the battle is the Lord's." That's the divine perspective right there. He knew. He said, on the surface, it might look like I'm doing something, but in reality, this is a spiritual battle. That's how all battles are. They're spiritual. And this is the Lord's battle. And all that God requires is that we would be people of faith and just trust him. That's all that God requires. Because you and I, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. And see, David's values brought security, brought confidence, not only to himself, but after the battle was won, one man of faith brought security for his whole nation. Now, I'm not sure what any of you are going through. I look around the room, and in my mind, you all look like you're doing great. But perhaps there's some of you, maybe there's just one of you. That's where you're at. You got this chronic Goliath in your life. And it's been day and night, just there taunting you, trying to discourage you and disarm you and disable you. But we look to David as an example of one who valued God. And we need to be reminded of these things and how important it is to value the Lord with what's going on in your life right where you're at. And David, we saw he valued past victories. Think, maybe right now you're gripped with fear and you're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to manage this. I don't know how I'm going to move forward from this. I don't know. I'm just so paralyzed. So when you can't see forward, look back to what God has done. And think of the times that God has given you victories in the past. Think of the times that God has been so faithful, and value the faithfulness of God. Remember, God has not abandoned you. He didn't leave you then. He's not going to leave you now. And use wisdom. Don't just check wisdom out the door. Use wisdom. Think things through. Evaluate and assess the situation that you're facing. And don't move until you know that you know that you know that your plan of action is suited for you and God's ordained it. Don't move on other people's influence. Don't move by fear. Use wisdom. And bottom line, remember that the battle you might be facing, it's the Lord's. And if you trust him, he's going to give you the victory because he loves you. The security and values, don't let whatever you're going through cause you to separate your practice from what you value. Remember, value God above all things, and he will sustain you. And Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and mercy and grace. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for all the blessings that you have showered upon us. Truly, you are faithful, God, in all ways. And Lord, we thank you for these true accounts and how these accounts, they help us. Lord, what happened thousands of years ago are still so helpful for us today. And I thank you, God, that we can be ministered to by the faith of one man. And I know that for some, this is exactly what they needed to hear. And as a result of your word, they could sense the victory, and they could sense just a sense of security coming into their being, and they can walk with confidence now moving forward. Bless all my brothers and sisters and encourage them and strengthen them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.